Some of the biggest issues in the game will be thrashed out tonight as the NRL players go in search of what they've been asking for this year, which is a seat at the table when the big decisions are going to be made. About a dozen members of the Players Advisory Group will hook up by video at 7 o'clock tonight with the Rugby League Players Association, and there are a whole host of talking points. The Raiders' Josh Hodgson is part of that group, and I'm pleased to say he joins me this morning. Josh, welcome to the program.
Hey, man, how are you doing?
Good, thanks, mate. Look, there has been so much talk around the issues in the game that I think that this formation of the Player Advisory Group is going to be a real positive step. How important is it for you as a playing group across the board to have a seat at the table?
Yeah, I think it's massively important. I think it's, you know, not just important for us as players. I think it's important for the game. I think they need us at the table. I think, you know, if you're going to discuss game decisions in terms of rule changes and how we're going to conduct ourselves as players on and off the field, judiciary issues, you know, all things like that. I think it's really important that you have the players' opinion. So, you know, when you make that decision, you've got the players' backing. So, you know, not only is that, you know, a good thing because you get player buy-in, but at the same time, if that decision doesn't go quite right, the, you know, the liability lays on both of us too. So it's not just all aimed at the NRL all the time. And if you're going to make rule changes, if you're going to make all these decisions in the game and you've got players backing in and the players, you know, kind of coming up with these ideas too, I think it makes a lot more sense. And I think certainly, you know, going forward, you want the people that are, you know, putting into practice these things that are, you know, setting their own standards, as you try and do in your, you know, in your own clubs with your own sets of values and rules that you have around the place. You set your own standards so you live up to your own values. And if you mess up, you trip yourself up because you're the one who set the rules. I think it's really important that we have a playing group at the table.
Just before we get into some of the issues that you want to discuss at that table, let's be clear about what you're doing. So this is an advisory group formed by, what, a dozen players that will sit within the Rugby League Players Association, and then all that would, I would assume, go to the NRL when you sit down and have discussions.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So obviously there's 12 or 13 players in the group and from different clubs, obviously, and we all get messages and ideas from players that, you know, throughout the year you kind of hear things, whether it be certain issues that pop up throughout the year that players are concerned about, and we have our meetings where we bring up certain issues, and if it's a common theme across most clubs, then it's something that we probably dive a little bit more into, and then we come up with, you know, a few key issues that we think is really important going forward, and put that obviously towards the board and towards the NRL. So I think it's a really good way of doing it. I think, you know, having a players group to speak on behalf of the players is just a lot more powerful than, you know, one player stepping up and saying this is what we reckon as players. I think it's, you know, you hear stories all the time about the commission coming together and the commission, you know, talking about rule changes and having ideas and spitballing things. And it seems like a really powerful message because there's a lot of people obviously putting a lot of thought into their ideas. And that's them, you know, same thing with us. There's a lot of people that care about the game. And I think the good thing is sometimes this can be portrayed as, you know, the players are spewing or the players are, you know, throwing up a fuss and it's the players against the NRL. That's certainly not the case. You know, we all absolutely love this game and we just want to see it at the table to make the game as best as it can possibly be, you know, as players and even within the playing group. You're not always going to have the same ideas and going to agree on the same ideas, but you're all coming from a good place where you want the game to be as big as it can and be as successful as it can. And I think having the players at the table in around those decisions is only going to be a good thing for that.
How will you attack the issue of consistency or, I guess, inconsistency around the season, around these rule changes, especially, Josh, with what happened at Magic Round?
Yeah, well, you know, this is just my personal opinion. We've got a meeting, you know, about this tonight. And my opinion is it's really hard to find consistency when you're changing things a lot. You know, I heard Gus Gould talking on the Sunday Night Footy Show the other night, and I really agreed with him. I thought it's really hard on the referees because they have so many different decisions to go against. You see so many different rulings and so many different things they have to tick off on every try or every little tackle that could be, you know, a penalty because someone gets a bit of pressure on the back of the neck, and you just can't tell with those situations whether that's a lot or whether that's, you know, a little bit. That comes down to trust in terms of the players. And I think when you change things all the time, it's hard to get that consistency. You know, you get consistency from practicing the same things over and over and over. And if you just throw things in there, you know, especially mid-season. You're never going to get consistency. It's going to take time. So we need to, you know, in my opinion, we need to, you know, not change it up as much and have a lot more thought into when we're going to change it up. And, you know, I pointed out the other day, we saw Magic Round was just ravaged and overshadowed by injuries and, by sin bins and red cards and suspensions and fines. And really, there was no need for it to be brought in at that kind of time of the year, in my opinion. I understand, you know, it comes from a good place. There's no doubt about that. They're trying to look after us as players, and we really respect that. But we play a massively intense sport where you got blokes sprinting at each other at, you know, 20 plus k's an hour and stepping and trying to get through the line. It's a really technically difficult thing to do, to execute a tackle and not catch someone high. It's just going to happen sometimes. So, you know, no one purposely goes out to take someone's head off. And, you know, the instances that they do, it's blatantly obvious that they've done it. And, you know, rightfully so, that's a yellow or a red or a big suspension or whatnot. But I think with a rule change, it's just put a lot of pressure on the, you know, just players and the referees as well, in particular, to keep that consistency. It's, as I've just touched on, if you're changing things all the time, it's hard to get it right all the time. And there's that many different rules, you know, getting brought in. It's you've got to keep an eye on everything.
I said at the time, Josh, that the Magic Round crackdown was kind of shock and awe. On reflection, do you think, from a player's perspective, would the tackles have been able to have come down with a directive without a crackdown?
Yeah, I do think it'd have been able to come down without a crackdown, and probably not as high in terms of the players leaving the field. I think that was probably one of the bigger things. You know, put them on report and, you know, have a look at them during the week and discuss. You know, you've only just brought in, discuss these kind of things with the players, bring the players to a, you know, invite the players to a judiciary meeting where you're going to discuss, look, if this happens again, we understand this is the first week we brought this in, but if this happens again, here's an example of the future weeks. This is going to be a yellow, or this is going to be a red, or this is going to be, you know, a suspension for X amount of weeks. Explain that process over the, you know, a couple of games before it gets brought in, then at least you're aware of it building in. And as I said, it technically is a very difficult thing to get right, to especially if you're a bigger man, to hit a smaller man and make sure you don't catch him high when he's trying to, you know, bounce around all over the place and get past you. It's technically a very difficult thing. So it's something you've got to practice. It's not, you know, although rugby league players, it's something you've got to be, you know, you've got to be very good at, especially for those bigger blocks. So just little things like that, I think, you know, need a lot more thought process. And as you touched on, a lot of people obviously blowing up about inconsistencies, but, you know, I feel for the referees because it's hard for them. And I've been on the field when you get tough calls, but, you know, it's hard because we've got that many things to look out for nowadays. It's hard for them to get it right all the time, and they're never going to when we're changing it, you know, kind of on the run.
And then also the judiciary and match review process this year has come under enormous microscope. Do you think those two are tied together, the consistency of the rule changes and what's been happening at the judiciary? And is that something that you'll look at with a pretty deep dive?
Yeah, that's another thing that we're going to, you know, talk about tonight. I think that's a, you know, another issue with the game that we need to, you know, really need to look into and have a, you know, a real clear judiciary process and what kind of looks like in terms of bans, suspensions, fines, all them kind of things. We need to have a real clear pathway. It's such a, you know, hit and miss in terms of what players are getting, what bans and what weeks. And sometimes it's, you know, it's based on injury outcome. Sometimes it's a really bad hit, but the bloke don't get injured, so you don't really get much of a fine. And then, you know, one that's probably not as bad, if he cops a bit of a whack and it's, you know, and he gets an injury, you can end up getting weeks and weeks on the sideline. If it's a bad hit, it's a bad hit. Injury outcome, in my opinion, to the, you know, should be on the wayside. It's, you know, as I just touched on a minute ago, no one's going to whack someone purposely to try and injure them. It's just a physical contact sport that we play. And you're trying to hit a bloke as hard as you can. It's one of them games where there's going to be accidents. And on the occasion where it's not an accident, then people will be dealt with appropriately. But I think, yeah, that clarification in the judiciary process and all that kind of thing is going to be on the cards tonight, as well as the obviously the NRLW for the women as well. It's been you know, a really tough year for those girls. You know, how much I love doing what I love for a living, and to you know, to put my thoughts in their position and be, I can only imagine it being a really tough year for them, especially to be found out, you know, pretty late on. It's not going to happen, and I'm sure they tried to get things going, but obviously I've not heard the girl side of things tonight, the women's side of things tonight. So once we hear that, then we'll have a bit of chat about that too.
Yeah, fantastic. So the women's and men's issues being addressed at the same table. And like you say, you know, there is a big concern around the NRLW, the way that it was cancelled, the communication or lack of, and the flow-on effect of that. So that'll be great to get all voices at that table. And just a final one, the fines off-field. So this is an interesting one, Josh, where obviously you guys are going to say, no way, 130K is way too much. And the NRL saying, well, we're taking it up from 50K. Is it something that you go looking for middle ground, or is this a broader issue to have a discussion? Is it just about money, or is there a bigger discussion to have about it?
Well, I think, again, I've not probably spoke too much about this in the group. We'll have a meeting tonight, but in my personal opinion, it's you're a game with men that are based from 18, men and women that are based from 18 up until maybe 35, 36. You've got a lot of young men you know, playing our game, and we're role models in our game, and are still finding, you know, they're not only finding the way in terms of being a professional rugby league player and what that looks like, but they're finding the way in their own life as well. And just like any kind of job in the world, when you're a young man and you're trying to find your way in life, you're going to make mistakes along the way. And that's just going to happen. No matter how much you increase the fine, you can increase the fine to $1 million. I guarantee you someone's still going to make a bit of a stuff up, for want of a better word. I don't think increasing fines is the way to go. I don't think anyone purposely goes out there to, as I just touched on in game, anyone purposely goes out there to make a mistake. We're all human, we all make mistakes. And I understand that, you know, some mistakes are worse than others, and some mistakes should be treated worse than others. 100%, I'm not, you know, that's not the case, that would be arguing. But just to be solely increasing fines to, you know, 130 grand and just presuming that's, you know, problem solved, job done, it's just not going to happen. I guarantee you're still going to have fines. And, you know, as I just touched on, we're all people at the end of the day, whether we're 18 or whether we're 32 or whether you're 50-year-old bloke, you still make mistakes. And that doesn't mean, I think, you know, whacking a fine up's going to stop that. So I don't think it's a reasonable thing to do.
Well, it's a smart move by the players, I think, to form this advisory group, sit down, thrash out some issues and try and get a seat at the big table, if you like, with the Rugby League Players Association and the NRL. And hopefully we can tick off some of the issues that we've discussed this morning. Josh, appreciate your time. Look forward to seeing what comes out of this meeting tonight and then further down the track.
No problem. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.